you know, this project has kind of been in the works for probably 2-3 years. And with the centennial of Gina Stera approaching, I really felt so strongly that he made such a contribution to 20th century contemporary music that I really wanted to do at least my small part in helping to acknowledge and thank him for what he has done, both for the classical music world at large, but particularly with his iconic harp concerto, which has been a fixture of my repertoire, my career, and really my consciousness since I was a teenager. And so this seemed to be a really fitting and appropriate way to not only perhaps either introduce or reintroduce some audiences to his music, but also to to express my gratitude for everything he's done for me and for harpists and for musicians with his wonderful, idiomatic, colorful repertoire.
Well, let's talk about that harp concerto a little bit, because it's an extraordinary piece of music. It's the centerpiece of your album. And you've said in your program notes that it pushed the harp out of the box. Can you tell us what you mean by that?
Yeah, well, it there is a pretty fairly substantial amount of French repertoire for the harp, French concertos, Debussy, Ravel, Glière, or at least French style repertoire, I should say. And I think that this concerto is really one of the first major pieces that was able to show the harp in a new light, a powerful light, perhaps a more substantive light. And as a player myself, I mean, going back to when I was a kid, playing the harp really, I have to admit, was not particularly my idea. It was my mother's idea, because I was growing up as a little bit of a tomboy in Norman, Oklahoma. And I was all about the piano. I think she thought, well, let's see if we can refine her a little bit. Let's buy her a harp, stick her behind a harp, and let's see if she becomes a little more angelic. And I loved the harp from the beginning. I loved the way it felt. I loved the way it sounded. But my approach to the harp was just, I guess you could say, not all that angelic. And so this was really the first piece that I saw and learned that made me think that I could approach the harp in a slightly different way, perhaps a more powerful way. And Gina Stera really gives the harpist a chance to, you know, for lack of a better word, wail in this piece. And yet, on the other side of the spectrum, there is a chance to be incredibly introspective and incredibly warm and tender as well. And I think that speaks to his kind of yin and yang personality, which also related to my own personality as well, because at the same time, I might have been a little bit of a tomboy and, loved to run and use my big muscles. I also loved reading, and I was also a pretty quiet kid. So I think not only did that increased, that expanded possibility appeal to me in his harp concerto, but also the fact that, you know, he wasn't all one thing or all another, as I think, you know, that would apply to most people in this world. But it at that tender age, it really felt like it spoke directly to me that, gosh, you know, I have these extremes living within me, and this music allows me to express that. So I think that's one of the big reasons that I formed such a personal attachment to this piece.
Well, it's obvious that you feel very, very passionate about the music itself, which, as you say, is not what we think of when we think of harp music or a harp concerto. The harp is very organic in this music. And I hear, especially in the second movement, I hear these little shades of like Bartok night music and things like that, that are really evocative, where the harp kind of melts into the orchestra, but you know, and then comes back out again, as you say, wails as well. It's a great way to describe it. This is music he wrote in the 1960s, right? 65,
well, it was originally written in the 50s, okay. And it was revised. And this piece took him a while to really come to completion with. And I spoke with his daughter, Georgina Stair, about this. And she said it was probably a combination of the fact that he was always so backlogged with commissions, and probably as well because, you know, the harp is a difficult instrument to wrap your head around. It's not like writing for the piano or really any other instrument. You have to, I think for most composers, it's a process of a little bit of trial and error. And it was commissioned by Edna Phillips, who was at the time principal harpist of the Philadelphia Orchestra. But it took almost a decade to come to fruition and was eventually premiered by Nicanor Zabaleta, who actually flew down to Argentina to work with Gina Stera on the piece. And I think that, that really was instrumental in making it so idiomatic. So, you know, great stuff doesn't always happen overnight, and I think this piece is certainly a testament to that idea.
Well, now, there are other works and other performers on this CD as too, so I want to go through and mention those as well. Of course, you're reteaming here with Jason Viau.
Right. He just kills it on this guitar sonata, which is the latest work on the album and really shows Gina Stira's very, very, his spikier edges. But yet at the same time, I think this is the musical miracle of Gina Stera, that he manages so many objectives at once: to honor his Argentine roots, to push classical music, contemporary music forward, but also he makes it very listenable. It's an incredibly interesting piece to sit down and listen to. I think even if you're not a classical musician, there's just a lot to listen to there, and Jason does such a wonderful job of it. I was so thrilled to have the wonderful Gil Shaham and Orly Shaham contribute their talents to this album. And both of them, you know, their musicianship is unbelievable. But, you know, their personalities and their warmth are equal to that or even exceeding that, I think. They're such special people. And I think that's almost what you need to bring Gina Stera's music to life. You know, you need a lot of warmth, you need a lot of humor, you need a certain kind of energy, and they both brought that to the Pompeiana number one, which Gil Shaham did with Orly on the piano. Gil, of course, on the violin, and Orly on the piano. And then Orly did the Danzas Argentinas for solo piano. And the Pompeiana number one, the term Pompeiana refers to the Argentine Pampas, which are the rural, the plains of Argentina. And, there's so much of that, again, the yin and the yang in his music. The opening of the Pompeiana is so introspective and so tender, and then it really evolves into this wonderful, rollicking, almost Bartok-like dance in the piece. And, I just can't think of anybody better to represent that piece than Gil and Orly.
The harpist Yolanda Kantanassis, whose latest album is Gina Stera 100, celebrating the Argentine composer's centennial. And that's with the Oberlin Orchestra, the Oberlin label. You can find it at all the usual outlets, and you can learn more, listen to samples, even watch a wonderful video that she has on her website. That's yolandaharp.com. Yolanda Kananasis, thanks for joining us today here on FM 91.
Thank you so much, Brad. It was a pleasure.